It's good to be back here on Wednesday night. We didn't have services Sunday. Here we had them at Outreach Baptist Church. I preached both services there for my friend Brother Jonathan Tharp. Had good time, good services, and appreciate that. But it is good to be back in our own home church tonight at Porch Light. And we're back into the Gospel of Mark again. We've been studying through this Bible study in the Gospel of Mark for 43 weeks. And so tonight is week number 43, part number 43. And Lord willing, we're going to look at chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, which deals with blind Bartimaeus. And that's always been an interesting study. As a kid, I remember studying about Bartimaeus, and we had little songs we sung about him, and so I enjoy studying about him and teaching on it. So let's go ahead and read our text there in Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 46. And here the Bible says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by their highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I'm praying now that you help us as we study through this section of the Gospel of Mark, Lord, that you'll be glorified in it. And Lord, it will get the best understanding we possibly can. Lord, if you'll illuminate the scripture for us and just take control of our thoughts and our mind tonight, and that we can leave away from here with a better understanding, God, and just know just how great a God that we serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, of course, as we're studying through the Gospel of Mark, and no doubt we're taking emphasis on Mark's Gospel. However, all throughout this study, we have referred to the other Gospels on the same stories when they have the same ones listed. Now, this account is also given in the Gospel of Matthew and also Luke. And I do want to read those two Gospels tonight, this same story, because there's something unique there that I want us to pay attention to. So we're going to look at these. And there's just a slight difference in some of the things that are said and the way they're said. So go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 is where it starts at. Matthew 20 and 29. And through 34. Let's read that. It says here, "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.' And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What will ye that I shall do unto you?' They say unto him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be open.' So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him." All right. So right away we see there's a little difference between Matthew's account and Mark's account. We see that Mark just mentioned one man and he called him by his name. And Matthew says there's two men and does not name either one of them. So now let's turn to the Gospel of Luke and see what Luke has to say about this same story here. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And starting with verse 35. Here it says, "And it came to pass that he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." All right, so there we have three accounts of the same story. All three are just a little bit different. As we've already said, Mark says there was one man, or he only mentions one man. He doesn't say there was only one. He just mentions one. And he gives us his given name there, of Bartimaeus. The Gospel of Matthew, of course, as we just saw, said there were two men and did not give a given name for either one of them. And so neither one's mentioned. And Luke only mentions one man, and he refers to him as a certain blind man. He doesn't call him by name. So all three Gospels provide the same basic account, except for the names and the number of blind men. However, they all follow the same exact pattern. If you notice the pattern in each one of these Gospels, it starts with a blind man or men. So there's blind, well, it starts with Jesus coming through Jericho. But a blind man or men. A blind man or men that hear that Jesus is passing through. And then a blind man or men, they cry out for Jesus, and they call Jesus by his messianic name, Son of David. And so these blind men recognize who Jesus is. You're going to notice throughout the study of the Bible, the only ones that really recognize exactly who Jesus is are devils. The disciples, some of them did. Peter did. He recognized him as such. And these blind men. But devils always know who he is. They know that he's the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah. But these other folks that Jesus encounters, the other Jews, they don't quite get it. They don't understand who he is. But these blind men or blind man knows exactly who he is, calls him by Son of David. That would be the messianic name for Jesus. And then all these, the blind man or blind men, they are rebuked by the crowd around them. Did you notice that? In all three accounts, they told them to hold their peace, be quiet. So they're rebuked for crying out to him. And on all three Gospels, they only started crying out louder when they were told not to say anything. And in all of them, Jesus stands still to deal with the man or men, if it's two or if it's just one. And in all three accounts, we find Jesus specifically asks them what it is that they want to be done. What shall I do for thee? What is it you want me to do? And so that's what he says. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What will ye that I shall do unto you? What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Those are the three different Gospels. Every one of them says the same thing. And so he asks them, before he does anything, what it is they're wanting. And we'll talk about that more as we go on. In all three of these accounts, Jesus also restores it doesn't say restore, they receive sight. We don't know if they've always been blind or if they become blind. Good chance they become blind in their lifetime. But he gives them their sight, and we find out the reason is because of their faith. If it's two, it's their faith. If it's just the one, his faith. And so I'm just saying them. But Jesus gives them sight based simply upon their faith in him. And then lastly, we see that in all three of them, they immediately begin following Jesus. Now, the reason I went through all that detail, giving you those 10 things that are the same in each gospel, is because this is a type. Now, I know I'm big on types. I love it. I love looking in the Bible, finding things that are shadows or types, appearances and things like that. I love to do that. And so what we have here is a type of lost sinner. That's what the blind man represents. Old blind Bartimaeus, he is the representation of a lost man. And so let me tell you how it works. It's just like it worked with all of us that were lost at one time. A sinner is blind to their lost condition. To begin with, we're blind to it. We don't know. I mean, we don't understand we're lost. Everybody talks about wanting to go to heaven and everything like that, but it's not until we are made to realize it that we're blind. These men are blind. They know they're blind. But a lost sinner, most of the time, don't understand they're blind until they hear about Jesus. In other words, they have been shared the gospel with. Either they read it in a Bible tract, somebody might have told them about Jesus. They may have went to a church service and heard a preacher preach on Jesus. They might have went to a Sunday school class. Their grandmother might have started talking to them about Jesus, a parent, a friend. And so we hear about Jesus in different ways. But each time, it's the gospel being presented to someone. Because Jesus is truly, he is the gospel. Because without Jesus, there's no gospel. And so, in each case, we find a lost sinner hears about Jesus or the gospel, and a sinner calls on the name of Jesus for help. The blind men had to call on the name of Jesus while they were calling out. And when they rebuked them, they called out the louder. Why? Because they knew there was nothing they could do with themselves. They had to have his help. And so, to get his attention, to get his help, they cried out for him. The Bible tells us to call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. So it's the same as with a lost person. We call on the name of Jesus. There's no other name given by which man can be saved, but that man, Christ Jesus. And so we need to understand that. Also, a lost sinner, Jesus saves them simply through their faith in him. It's by grace through faith you're saved, the Bible says, not by works, lest any man should boast. And so, just like the blind man, the sinner is... he's blind, his lost condition. He hears the gospel, the Jesus. He calls on Jesus for help, salvation, in the sinner's case, sight for this blind Bartimaeus. And Jesus saves us by faith. He gives sight by faith. And what happens after that? Look, the last thing I said, they begin following Jesus. That is the true mark of a Christian. There's a lot of people today that want to go around claiming, well, I know such and such. They went down to the altar when they were a little kid and they made a profession of faith. And no, they've never lived for Christ. No, they've lived like the devil all their life. They drink, they're on drugs. They, you know, been divorced numerous times. They live like a dog. But I believe they got saved back when. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we become new creatures in Christ, that we will have a desire to follow Him. In fact, being a Christian actually means following Christ. That's what it means. That's why they began calling those there at Antioch Christians. They were little Christ. They were imitating their Savior, Jesus Christ. So they laughed at them and said, look at those little Christians, the little Christ followers. Well, now we take that term and we hold dear to it because we follow Christ. And so if you're truly saved, there'll be a desire within you to follow Christ. So I'm not going to just let people off on some little profession they made years ago, but yet they've never exhibited anything in a Christian life. That's contrary to the teaching of God's Word. And the Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. And so it is how we follow Him, what our life exhibits. Are we exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit? Because if you've been saved, the Holy Spirit resides in you, and you should be exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I'm not going to preach about that tonight, but there's nine of them. We've went over it before. But these things should be coming out of somebody that's saved. So we need to be careful, especially when somebody comes down and, say, for example, a lot of times we find this in youth meetings. Youth are very impressionable. They follow their peers. They don't quite understand a lot of things. And so when somebody gets up and starts asking people to raise their hands if they want to be saved, or come down, you know, all their buddies are going down, and so they just follow them down, and then that person, like the preacher, gets up and says, you know, if you want to be saved, pray these words, and they'll pray these words or repeat after me. That is not salvation. Salvation's when you're convicted in your heart that you're a lost sinner, bound for hell, and there's no way that you can save yourself. And you turn to the only one that can do that. You turn from being the sinner that you are to a Savior who can save you. That's repentance, by the way. It's turning from your sin to Christ. That's Bible repentance. And so Christians follow Jesus. Now, I spent a lot of time on that, but I want to make sure we understand that. This miracle here of healing or giving sight to blind Bartimaeus, this happens to be really the last recorded miracle of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark until he goes to the cross. Now, some of the other Gospels, like we're going to see the raising of Lazarus, and there's a Zacchaeus up in the tree, but I don't believe there's a miracle performed there. But and the curse of the tree out there, you could call that a miracle, but it's not in the sense of this. And so essentially this is his last earthly miracle before he is led to the cross and crucified. And it's fitting, really, for his 3 1/3 years that he walked on this earth in a public ministry. He was here for 33 years, but in a public ministry, all we know of is those 3 years and a little bit more than that, about 3 1/3, maybe 3 1/2. And that was his public ministry. And it's fitting that this would be the final one, because that was one of the main signs of the Messiah, that he would give sight to the blind. All right, let's just move on here. Verse 46 in our opening text, and they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Well, our opening text here paints a very vivid picture of the time and life of Jesus. Walking on the Jericho Road. I believe it's the Chuck Wagon Gang used to sing that old song. On the Jericho Road, there's room for just two. I always like that. But we find Jesus here in this area of Jericho. It's the same place where Joshua marched around the city walls, blew the trumpet, and the walls fell. It's that same area. Of course, it had been flattened back when the children of Israel came in, but now there's still people living in that area. It's the same place where, just as we mentioned, there'll be a little short tax collector climb up in a tree to see Jesus in the way. And a very common place in the Bible, Jericho. This man that's blind, blindness was very common during that day, still is common in that area. But in that day and time, it was even more so. They didn't have any kind of medical, really much medical things to help with blindness. There was always a burning of ash floating in the air, which would get in your eyes. And so they were constantly wiping their eyes with this, from this ash. Well, that ash contains some things in it that starts eating away at the eye and starts causing you to go blind. And so there was a lot of men. It's said that 1 in 4 men in that area in that day and time was blind. That's a lot of people. It was very common to see blind folks sitting around in city gates. That's where most people are passing through, going in and out of the city. At this particular time, it's getting close to the Passover. It's the week before. You have all these Jews that are coming to their homeland there in Jerusalem to celebrate and worship during the Passover time. And so many of them be passing through the gates there in the city of Jericho. So this is the perfect spot for blind people to sit and beg for help, money, whatever, food. But this man here, Bartimaeus, he has something else on his mind besides money and food. And it's having sight. Jews from all around are traveling through at this time. Now, that very name here, his name is given to us in Mark, Bartimaeus is his name, Bartimaeus. The name Bar means son, like son of Bar-Jonah. Bar-Jonah is the son of Jonah, Bar. Timaeus means unclean or defiled. So, kind of soothing for a blind man. He's the son of a defiled man. But we're going to see something exciting happen. If you remember when we read there in the Gospel of Luke on this account, Luke also said a word a little different than the other Gospels did. He said this in verse 42, while Jesus was healing him. It says, "And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith have saved thee." You see that? Saved thee. Up in Mark where it says that, it says, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." But in Luke it says it saved him. And so, interesting there. This is a picture of a lost person. All right, look at verse 47 back in Mark 10. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now, I want you to know it was no accident that Jesus was passing through at this time. Jesus never had an accident. Everything is always on purpose. He had places to go. We were talking there at Outreach Sunday, and I believe his brother Jonathan made the mention that Jesus often even went out of his way to for certain things, like the woman at the well. He said, "I must need just go through Samaria," when he went completely out of the way to go there. So Jesus wasn't doing this. Wasn't circumstance or happenstance or good luck. There's no such thing as luck. It's God's providence. And so Jesus, being all-knowing, all-seeing God and all-loving God, he's passing through here for a reason, and we see what it is. It's for blind Bartimaeus. And so when Bartimaeus hears about Jesus is coming, Jesus of Nazareth, the people called him that because that's where he hailed from. That was what was considered his boyhood home, where he came from. Even though he was born in Bethlehem, and then they went to Egypt for a little while and such. But his hometown was considered Nazareth. And so that's what they referred to him as. And so even being blind, though, Bartimaeus understands that he is the very Jewish Messiah. And that's something, isn't it? Considering that the Pharisees and the scribes were not blind, yet they were blind to who he really was. They didn't recognize him as their Messiah. But here a blind man does. Kind of comical, isn't it? He calls him Jesus, thou son of David. Now, the only person that can claim that title, the son of David, is the Jewish Messiah. So that's exactly what Bartimaeus is calling him. The one the Jews have been waiting on. And he is here. And notice what he says to him. He says, "Have mercy on me." That really is the only plea that a sinner can make to God. Have mercy on me. Because if God doesn't have mercy on us and save us by his grace, we are bound for hell. We're doomed. There's no good in us. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so unless Christ has mercy on us, then we have no hope. And so that's, Bartimaeus has no hope. Doctors can't cure him. He don't have the money to go to a specialist. And even if he did, they couldn't heal him. So Jesus is his only hope. And so he cries out for mercy. And that's what we all have to do. We have to cry out for mercy. Over in John 9 and 2, the disciples, dealing with another blind man, they asked the Lord this. It says, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So there was a thought during that day and time, especially by the Jews, that if you had some kind of physical ailment like that, being blind, deaf, dumb, that it was because of some sin that had been committed, either by you or maybe your parents, and you were paying for that sin. And so even the disciples, and I read that from John 9 too there, where they'd ask, it was about another blind man. But that's what they thought. They thought that there was some kind of sin involved. Now look at verse 48 of our text. It says, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now this is what I was referring to. Because of the mindset of the Jew, believing that if you were blind, it was because you were a sinner and you deserved to be blind. Of course, if he's crying out for Jesus to have mercy on him, they're going to say, "Hey, shut up. You deserve everything that you've got. It's the reason you're blind is because of some kind of sin in your life. So don't bother Jesus with it. That's essentially what they're saying here. They have no compassion upon him. He's crying out for mercy from Christ, and the people around him have absolutely no mercy for him. And that's kind of like it is in the day we live in today. Very few people have mercy on anybody today. And I don't know why. I mean, we claim mercy from God, and we claim His grace and all that, but yet we're very reluctant to give anybody else mercy or grace. It's our flesh is what it is. And so this ought to tell us something here. These people are trying to prevent Bartimaeus from actually making contact with Jesus. They don't want him around Jesus. They don't want him to even be involved with it here. We need to be very careful that we don't run people away from Jesus. You can do it in a few different ways. One way is just like they're doing it. You know, oh, you need to hold your peace, be quiet. For example, you have some young person that doesn't know much about church. Maybe they wasn't raised in church. And so they come to church and they do something that is out of order. You know, maybe they say something out loud during the service while the preacher's preaching. And everybody says, you know, shut up. You're not supposed to talk right now. But yet that person had never been raised in church. They didn't know any better. Their parents never brought them. Just that one thing like that can cause them to be turned away from Christ. They could have said, well, if this is the way people are going to treat me when I go to church, then I certainly don't want to be involved in any of this. And chances are they walk out. So we need to be careful and consider what other people may or may not know. We living here in the South, and it used to be called the Bible Belt. That belt is the buckles done come off, and it's fallen down. Most people are not part of the church anymore like they used to be when we were growing up, and so they don't understand types of things. So we got to be careful how we speak to them, how we approach them, that we don't run them off. And so. Here, these people are doing that. And we can also run them off by showing how smart we think we are. For example, I've heard some preachers get up in the pulpit and they use such words that, quite frankly, even most adults don't understand what words they're saying. If the gospel's confusing, it's useless. If the smallest child cannot understand the gospel, you're doing it wrong. I know that you can preach different for different crowds depending on their ages and how long they've been around and all that. But listen, when you're preaching or teaching to a congregation of people, of mixed people, young people, old people, middle people, whatever, we need to make sure when we share the gospel, it is clear, concise. It's not something confusing or overbearing. We don't add things to it, like works. And always do that right. Just a little child, I'll be able to understand you when you're sharing the gospel. So we don't need to run anybody off from Jesus. These people are trying to run Bartimaeus off. But I like his attitude. The Bible says he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, had mercy on me." So he's not going to let anybody stand in his way. I don't know how old he is. The Bible doesn't tell us. Most likely he's older. He's been around for a while. He don't want to be blind anymore. He wants to be able to see. This is his only shot. So, hey, those people, they can yell and scream. They can do whatever they want. He's not going to give up. He's going to the only source that he knows that can do anything for his condition. So he does it even more. A great deal, the Bible says. And so, you never know when your last opportunity to receive Christ will be. You know, it scares me to death to think about people that are lost that come and hear a message, the gospel shared, and they get convicted. The Holy Spirit starts working on their heart. They know something's not right. They can tell. They feel it. They've been convicted by the Holy Spirit, convinced that there's a problem. They're lost. But they reject that. Or they decide they're going to put it off later or something like that. That is so dangerous. We're not guaranteed another time. We don't know. I'm not one of those that teach that you can just go and call on Jesus whenever, you know, like these people on their deathbeds, they've lived like hell all their life and here they're laying on their deathbed and somebody says, you need to get saved. And so they'll just call out, I want to get saved, you know. That's not salvation. So, you know, but what I'm trying to say is, if somebody shares the gospel and you're lost and it convicts your heart, you need to come to Jesus then. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And so it may be your last opportunity. All right, look at verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. I like that little phrase there, and Jesus stood still. And Jesus stood still. I'm so glad that Jesus takes time out to fool with us. Can you imagine if he looked down in 1972, saw my little sorry soul, that little six-year-old boy sitting there, didn't have no sense, didn't have, like my dad said, didn't have enough sense to get out of the rain. He could have said, well, I don't want anything to do with him, and moved on. But he didn't. Jesus stood still. The Holy Spirit came and convicted my heart. And I knew I was lost and I got saved. I'm so glad that we have a personal Savior. He's not somebody else's Savior. He's our Savior. He's our personal, one-on-one Savior. And so he deals with us that way. He don't put us off on somebody else. I talked about that Sunday, about how Jesus was so accessible. They could just come to Jesus. You see, he's coming to the very Messiah and speaking with him face to face. You know, you just can't do that with anybody. I mean, look at these great kings and presidents and people in high offices in this world we live in. You can't just go up to them and have a conversation. You try to get to the president and have a conversation. Secret Service is going to step in. Or he'll put you off on somebody else, or you've got to make a reservation. You want to see a king? Good luck with that. You probably never get to see a king except for Jesus. And so he is accessible. And the blind man's able to come to him. Jesus stood still. The Savior of the world, the Lamb of God, the Rose of Sharon, standing right there dealing one-on-one basis with this poor blind beggar. And it says they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Well, suddenly their little tune changes. Since Jesus now decides he wants something to do with the man, now they all decide, then they want to get in on it. And it's just like the crowd, they're fickle. So, verse 50 says, And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. I love blind Bartimaeus. Can you imagine how this poor blind beggar was feeling about right now? I mean, he is so excited. His efforts have paid off. Jesus has heard him. Jesus has stopped. The people's telling him, Jesus is wanting you. Come, get up, rise. He wants to talk to you. And so blind Bartimaeus is so excited. He jumps up, pulls off his outer cloak. They wore a, underneath their cloaks, they wore a tunic, and they were, you know, wrapped up usually in clothes. On the outside, they'd wear a robe. And so to move quickly, they would take the robe off, or they would take it and tuck it between their legs to run, or they would tie it up in some fashion. They would do that to be able to move quickly. Bartimaeus has thrown off his outer cloak so that he can move fast, and that's what he's done. He comes running up to Jesus, and do you notice it says he came to Jesus? There's a couple things there I want to talk about that. He came to Jesus. When you're lost, you come to Jesus. But Jesus comes to us first. Do you notice that? Jesus came. Jesus came to Jericho. Jesus passed by. So Jesus came, and then he came to Jesus. That's the way we are. I didn't come to Jesus until he came to me. The Holy Spirit convicts. No man comes unto the Father except through Jesus. You know, no man can be saved unless the Father first call him. So we're saved when he meets us first, and then we receive him. And so that's what's happened. Bartimaeus came to Jesus, and, you know, how did he know where he was at? I guess he followed his voice. The same way we do. We follow Jesus' voice. Verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Well, the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Now, sometimes I've wondered this in the past. Why was it Jesus asked him what he wanted him to do? I mean, isn't it obvious? Well, Lord, can you not tell? I'm blind. Don't you think that's what I really need is maybe my sight, to receive my sight? And so we think, well, it's odd that Jesus would ask him such a thing. It just seems like he would immediately say, you come here to be healed of your sight. But you see, some people don't recognize their immediate need. I work downtown. Every day I walk by homeless people. Some are there because they want to be there. Some of them will not go to a shelter. Some of them will not go to a program. They choose to be homeless. But they'll stand out and ask for a handout. And those that don't choose, maybe they lost their job, lost their homes, lost their families, and they're struggling, and that's the only way they know to survive is to go downtown and beg for money from people and, you know, cry out for people's mercy and grace. But when they come to you, instead of looking at their real need, they just want their immediate needs met. I want my stomach filled. Do you have some money so I can buy a meal? Okay, but what about the true problem here? The true problem is you don't have a job. The true problem is you don't have a home. So they really need help with that, but yet all they can think of is their immediate problem, their immediate condition. So if it's hunger or thirst or something to make them comfortable, whatever it is, that's what they're asking for. So it's natural Jesus would ask him, what is it you want from me? You know, maybe it wasn't to have his sight restored. You know, maybe it was something else. But Bartimaeus realized his real need was to receive his sight. He could have said, I know that you can do all things and I don't have a home to live in or something like that. You know, I need a home. He could have said that. He could have said, I need new clothes or I need a meal or I need some money or something like that. But he knows his real need. His real need is he needs his sight. And so some people don't want their real need fulfilled. The drunk, he just wants another bottle. He don't want to get off the bottle. His real need is to get sober and to live a life of soberness. But his immediate want is another bottle. The drug addict, his immediate want is another shot and the pill, whatever it is they're doing, snorting and all this stuff. But their biggest need is to get off of drugs. You know, you'll see people maybe standing outside holding a sign, we'll work for food, but what they really need is steady employment. Food's just a temporary fix. Bartimaeus didn't ask for money. He asked for his real need to be met, and that was to receive sight. Verse 52, And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So Jesus does what Jesus always does. He extends his mercy. He extends his grace. And he extends his healing power. And he gives sight to Bartimaeus. He's no longer blind Bartimaeus. He's now just Bartimaeus. Now, in case you missed it, I want to tell you what this story was all about. Number one, Bartimaeus represents a lost sinner. Number two, a sinner realizes that he has a need that he cannot fix. Number three, the sinner hears about Jesus, the gospel message, a Savior with a trusting faith, and he realizes that Jesus is the only source for his needs and to have his sins forgiven. Fourth, he calls out to Jesus for help. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That's what the lost sinner does. Jesus, I'm a lost sinner. Have mercy on me. Save me. Fifth, Jesus, seeing his faith, makes him whole. Luke said that he was saved. So I believe there's a double meaning there. Not only was his sight given to him, but he also was saved. Don't ever let anybody tell you that Bartimaeus wasn't saved. He was saved at that very moment. So it was through his faith. That's what Jesus told him, your faith. Six, the sinner is now a sinner saved by grace. He didn't do one single thing to earn this grace. Not a single thing. It was given to him solely based upon the fact that he had faith in Jesus Christ. And seventh, this newly saved person, Bartimaeus, now follows Christ the same as what we do. When we get saved, we follow Jesus. And as I said at the beginning of this message, that is the true mark of a real Christian, following Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the message tonight. I thank you for this picture of the lost sinner in blind Bartimaeus. I thank you for your grace and your mercy and for your love. God, I thank you for having mercy upon this lost sinner back when I was 6 years old. Lord, I thank you for eternal salvation. Lord, I'm praying for those that may listen to this, God, that has never received Christ as their Savior, but they need to be saved. Lord, they've been blind all their life. Maybe they didn't know they were blind. But Lord, now that they've heard the message, they've heard the gospel, they realize that they need salvation. Lord, if there is one, Lord, would you convict that heart? Show them the need to be saved, God. May they call on you for salvation. Lord, we thank you for all the things you blessed us with. May Porchlight Church always be a blessing to you. And these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.